place looks beautiful. I'm just amazed. And I'm so happy to be here with you. Would you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1? I can say with confidence that the message for this evening is my hope. I'm going to state as clearly as I can, my hope. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. The last, or the next to the last phrase in verse 3 is what I want to call our attention to. And this is my hope. When he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. I've entitled this message, Sins Purged. Now, in order to have some appreciation of this, we're going to have some understanding of what sin is. The scripture says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. The thought of foolishness is sin. The plowing of the wicked is sin. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Sin is coming short of the glory of God. All those definitions are scriptural, but I think the one that always hits me in the face the hardest, sin is the transgression of the law. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Every time I sin, I'm putting something before God. The commandment against idolatry. Which one of us have not invented a view of God that makes us feel more comfortable with ourselves and vindicate ourselves in our position? The commandment against taking his name in vain, that holy, glorious name, not having proper reverence for that name. Have you ever had the proper reverence for his name? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. When have I ever rested perfectly? Honor your father and mother. be submissive to all God-appointed authority. Thou shalt not kill. Not physically. Not murdering someone's character by gossip, innuendo. Maybe silence, where I'm really trying to promote myself at their expense. Thou shalt not commit adultery, physically or in my mind, the command against all sexual sin. Thou shalt not steal. That's more than shoplifting. It's taking credit where credit really is not due. It's lying and cheating to further your own cause. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. You're not to desire that which belongs to your brother, and you'd rather you have it than him. Sin is the transgression of the law. And my dear friend, if you can look at one of these commandments and think you've kept one of them one time, you betray a complete ignorance of the holy law of God and your own personal sinfulness. It is the sinner that commits the sins. I'm a sinner. I'm not proud of that. There's no excuse for it. I'm a sinner. I'm not talking about the way I used to be. I'm talking about the way I am right now. A sinner. I find, in light of God's holy law, that I cannot not sin. As a matter of fact, all I do is sin. And it's all my fault. I can't blame somebody else. I can't blame God's sovereignty. I can't blame my circumstances. It's all my fault. And I cannot look down in judgment on anybody alive. In myself, I have no claims on God. Sin. You know, we have all made the statement, I would say most of us all have made the statement, there go I, but for the grace of God. We've made that statement. I've made that statement. And if we mean that there's no sin apart from restraining grace that I would not commit, it's true. But I want to consider, how much difference is there in saying, there go I, but for the grace of God, I'd be like that man, and saying what the Pharisee in the temple said, God, I thank thee, I'm giving you the credit, that I'm not as other men are. Really not a lot of difference. Sin. Now, anybody that knows anything about sin is greatly interested in this subject. I shouldn't even call it a subject. I don't know what to call it. It's the gospel. Sins purged. And I pray that God will bless this and cause His gospel to be preached to where when you hear this message, you'll know that your sins have been purged. What a blessing that would be. When he had by himself purged our sins. Who is the he referring to? The Son of God. The Lord Jesus Christ. Now look back up at verse 1. When he had by himself purged our sins. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, And he did indeed do this. Verse 2, hath in these last days. Now the last days are all the days between the night the Lord Jesus Christ was born and when he comes again. Those are all the last days. We're living in the last days. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Christ Jesus is the prophet who speaks. He is the Word of God so much that he never said, "Thus saith the Lord." I say unto you. He is God's final word. Now this one, verse 2, this one who purged us of our sins is the one whom he hath appointed heir of all things. God his Father has appointed him heir of all things. Now what that means is everything is for his glory.
Yes.
That's the purpose of the universe.
Yes.
That's the purpose of the creation.
Yes.
That's the purpose of the fall of Adam, for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if somebody has a problem with this, all I can say is you've got a problem. You've got a real problem. You're not on the Lord's side. This is his agenda. The glory of his Son. And look what he says next in verse 2. By whom? By the Lord Jesus Christ. By whom he also made the worlds. He's the creator. This one who purged us of our sins. He's the creator. He created the universe. All things were made by him and for him. And he's before all things, and by him all things consist. He's the creator of the universe. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and all they that dwell therein. It was he who said, "Let us make man in our own image." The one who purged us of our sins is the creator of the universe. Now look at verse 3. Who? This one who purged our sins. Who? Being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. He's the brightness, the effulgence, the shining forth of the very glory of God. And he's not reflective glory. He is the glory of God. The express image of his person. He's not like God. He is God.
Yes.
Colossians 2:9 says, "In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." And next it says in verse 3, he upholds all things by the word of his power. Now this one who is said to have purged us of our sins is the absolute Lord of all, upholding all things by the word of his power. He is in control of everything and everybody and everything that you freely do because you want to. He's absolutely sovereign over. He's in control. He is the Lord of all. By him all things consist. Everything that happens in time is his will being done. This is the one who has purged us of our sins. He's the Lord of providence. He's before all things, and by him all things consist. He's the one who says, "I have purposed it, I will also do it. I've spoken it, I will bring it to pass." Everything
without exception,
is His will being done. Now somebody says, I'm having a hard time with that. Well, if you are, think if it's not true. Think of the implications if it's not true. Oh,
that'd be the worst thing that could possibly be.
Now, notice it says of this one who upholds all things by the word of His power. Well, He's glorious, isn't He? He's glorious. I wish I could speak of Him the way He ought to be spoken of. I can't. And that's one of the things that I like knowing ahead about preaching. Failure is built in. It's built in. None of us are going to give what this glorious message ought to be given. But notice this statement, when He had by Himself purged our sins. Who's the our? Who's He talking about? Who has this blessed grace of having their sins purged? Not everybody's sins are purged. And I want to say this in fear. I don't even know how to say it, but there is a place called hell. And there are people in that place. And their sins are never purged. There's no such thing as purgatory. That place where you go and you have your sins purged, and it might take 1,000 or 10 million years, but you finally get out because your sins are paid for. No, no. There is no purgatory. So who is included in the hour? Who is our? Everybody He purged. Everybody He purged. All of His elect. Everybody for whom He died. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I'll in no wise cast out, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. The point behind the atonement is He's successful.
Amen.
He's successful. Now let me tell you something that all of these people, without exception, who have their sins purged, have in common. They need their sins purged. That's what they all have in common. They need their sins purged. They're filthy and defiled by sin. Sinners by birth, sinners by choice, and sinners by practice. And there's nothing they can do about their sins. They are defiled inside and out by sin and by sins, and they need for Him to do what only He can do. Purge. Purge. Put away their sins. Now, our text said, or says, when He had by Himself purged our sins. Now let me tell you what He did by being nailed to Calvary's tree. He purged. He made it to where they're not there. When I'm given a job to clean cabinets, sometimes I do that, believe it or not, but there's some things that you can just wipe off. Just wipe off. But when the stain is deep, ingrained in the wood, we got this stuff called degreaser. Maybe you have it. It's actually called degreaser. And you put that on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want to say this as reverently as I know how, He descendeth. He made it to where they are not. That is what the purging of sin means. All of the sins of all of that group that he died for, he purged their sin. How? All of the sin, all of the filth, all of the evil, all of the defilement, all of the dirtiness, he was made to be. And on Calvary's tree, he made that sin to be no more. That is what the purging of sin is. In Gethsemane's garden, as he looked upon the cup, he was getting ready to drink the sins of his people. And he's the only one who knows how horrible that is. You and I don't know anything about this. When I start talking about the sinfulness of sin and the defilement of sin, I'm so hard-hearted, I know little about it. He knows everything about it. He said, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. As great drops of blood came from his pores." And then he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And when he bowed his mighty head on the cross and said, "It is finished," all of those sins were purged, paid for, put away. That means they are no more. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. 1 John 3:5 says, "He was manifested to take away our sins. In him is no sin." No sin. If I'm in him, I have no sin. My sins are not just as if I never committed them. I stand before God having never committed them. That's what justification is. Holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. Now, this is such a very important part of this verse. Don't miss this. When he had by himself purged our sins. Me and you didn't have anything to do with this.
That's right.
When he had by himself purged us of our sins. It would have been glorious if he said when he purged our sins, but this is better. When he had by himself purged our sins. You know what that lets me know? I don't have anything to do with this.
Right.
I can't do anything to add to it. I can't do anything to take from it.
Right.
When he had by himself purged our sins. Now, when he was on this is another one of those things I feel so stupid talking about. I'll try because I feel everything. When he was on Calvary's tree, he was by himself. The Father forsook him. He forsook him because of sin. He was by himself. He didn't have any angels there helping him. You know, in Gethsemane's garden, before he's actually made sin, they came to minister to him, but they weren't ministering to him at this time. He was by himself. He didn't have any of his people there with him. They'd all forsaken him and fled. He didn't have anybody saying, "We know you're doing this for us and we love you for it." He was by himself. When he had by himself purged our sins. Now, in this great work of the purging of our sins, He did it by Himself. Not by enabling me or you to do something that would activate what He did. Not us enhancing what He did. Now, listen to this real carefully. Forget doing.
Yeah.
Forget doing. Do not think about what you need to do, doing in the light of what He has done. Now listen to me. If my salvation is dependent upon me doing something, if my salvation is dependent upon my faith or my repentance or my holy living, I have no hope. But thank God, praise His holy name, He did this by Himself. At a point in time, in a particular place, on Golgotha's Hill, He by Himself, with no contribution from me or you, purged our sins. And what did He do after that? When He had by Himself purged our sins, He sat down. The sitting Savior. Now, what is the significance of this? In the Levitical system, in the tabernacle, there was an altar for sacrifice, a laver to wash, which demonstrates the continual cleansing of that blood. We need continually cleansed, don't we? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. There was a table of showbread in the holy place, Christ our food. There was an altar of incense. I need Christ to pray for me. Peter, I prayed for you. There was a golden candlestick, Christ our light, as to how God can accept somebody like me or you. Inside the Holy of Holies, there was the Ark of the Covenant with the mercy seat over it, that the high priest would come in once a year and sprinkle blood.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know a piece of furniture that was not there? A chair. A chair. Why? The high priest's work was never done.
Never done.
He was never done. Same thing over and over and over again, doing things that represented something, but could never take away sin. Turn with me for just a moment to Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 11. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever. them that are sanctified. Look back in Hebrews chapter 9. But Christ, verse 11. But Christ, being come in high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place. Now look at this. Having obtained eternal redemption for us. A redemption that never had a beginning. A redemption that will never end. There's nothing you can do to mess it up. He hath obtained eternal redemption for us. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, and his salvation is forever. Now, to think of the Lord, I don't even know how to think about this, but the Scripture says the Lord entered into the very presence of his Father himself with his own blood. Now, I want to ask you a question. How satisfied was the Father with what his Son did? He was infinitely satisfied. He could ask no more. How satisfied was Christ with what he did? Scripture says he shall see the travail of his soul. That's everything that took place. And be satisfied. Satisfied. Not looking for anything else. Not wanting anything else. Complete satisfaction. And you're not satisfied? There's something wrong with that picture, isn't there? We're to find satisfaction in the same thing God the Father does. In the same thing God the Son does. In the same thing God the Holy Spirit does. And it's this. He, by himself. By himself. But what am I to do? Nothing. Don't make any resolutions about from this time on it's going to be better. I'm going to change. I'm going to start serving him better. Do not think that there's something you could do to add to his glorious work. Don't think of anything you do. It's done. He, by himself, purged our sins. And you and I are to find the exact same place of satisfaction that the Godhead does. He, by himself, purged our sins. Now let me remind you of one thing. Did he do this for me? Do you need this? Do you need this? Then, beloved, he did it for you. Amen.
Well, that's my